Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Skydive Liberation, brought to you by the Splash Bros. I'm Kyler.
I'm Jacob Patty.
And we're here with our audio engineer, Mr. Drew Beach. Farrell is out again. He's still balls deep in nylon.
Doing some rigging.
Definitely part of that spring season.
Once things start going,
riggers are definitely pretty busy.
And high demand.
And he's actually working on my rig, so that's cool.
There we go. Get that together.
We're here at Sticks and Tone Studios here in Chattanooga. And today we already did an episode like this before, but we're going to do it again because, you know, there's so many new fun jumpers out there, and we just kind of want to help bring any bit of advice that we have to those of you that are first starting out.
And with it, you know, this podcast, it's a beginner's skydiving podcast by beginners for beginners.
Exactly.
This is a podcast, you know, everyone can get from non-skydivers, skydivers, advanced skydivers, advanced canopy pilots. Just, there's so much to learn from it.
We want to help educate and bring people to the sport and further everybody's progress through the sport.
Give you a taste of the sport too.
Yeah, exactly. Even those of you that haven't done it before, you know, we want to just push the sport in any way we can. And we're here for all of you to help y'all out. And, you know, we get to reflect on our progress as we're going through jumps, because you're over 100 now, and I'm at 58. I'm just about at 60, you know, so I'm not too far behind. And
I'm a 100 jump wonder. Wink, wink.
What we're here for is for you guys, and we want to give as much as we can for those of you who are beginners, so it makes your progress a little bit easier. Potentially.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing the Beginner Skydiving Forum Q&A Part 2.
Part 2.
Woo!
So I'll just go ahead and start up. I've got a question already. This was posted 2 hours ago by Sean Kamateris. I hope I'm not butchering that. I apologize if I am. And he said, when starting out, how long do you have to wear the jumpsuit?
That's a fun question.
That is a fun question. And I'd say it differs a little bit. So, technically,
let's get into the ideology of fucking jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about jumpsuits.
And there's different kinds of jumpsuits, too.
Yes. So, the idea, generally, when you wear a student jumpsuit, you have grippers on the arms and legs. Grippers, you know, kind of everywhere. And it's also a little baggy.
Right.
It's meant to be a little baggy so you catch wind, so you can kind of float with your instructors who are holding on to you the entire time. And they're holding on to you the entire time with those arm handles and leg handles that you have on the suit.
The science behind that is, one, you're going to slow your fall rate, so you're going to have more drag. It's going to be
catch more wind.
Yeah, you're going to catch more wind. It's going to be a slower descent, but that gives you, one, more time to practice what you're doing.
More control and power.
Exactly. And your instructors that are with you are going to have more opportunity to hold on to you, help you out in any way they can. And most instructors have to wear, any sort of drag or baggy suits when they're doing AFF as well, just so they can.
It depends, fall the student. Right. Yeah. If you got a big boy, it might not be good to wear. It might be good to go naked. Almost, you know, the idea of it. But, I'm trying to find a fucking comparison to
So technically, what you're supposed to do is all the way through AFF, all the way through your A license, you're technically supposed to be wearing a jumpsuit. However, that does differ per drop zone.
Some require you to wear jumpsuits.
Absolutely.
Always, pretty much. And there's like this fucking egotism with it. It's like, you're not jumping with a jumpsuit? What are you doing? Like, that's a bat. You're not going to get power. It goes back to that same idea where it's like, don't free fly until this or just people are throwing their ideas on you.
Right. And there's going to be a lot of ideas thrown at you as you're getting into
it. And they're not wrong. Like you get more power with a jumpsuit. You get more control. You get more this.
I feel like there's no wrong advice for the most part when it comes as beginners in skydiving. There's just so much of it that you know, and a lot of it is very opinionated.
It's very personal and subjective.
Yeah, I prefer this, I prefer that, and it all depends on the skydiver that you are, so.
And, there's different types of jumpsuits. So you have one with booties.
I do.
I'm looking at buying a Tone Fly that is for free flying and goes to my elbows and my knees, right above my knees.
So let's talk about those differences. for your jumpsuit that you're looking to get, what is that mainly for, and what does that do for you?
It would be very little drag, and if there is any drag, it would be down near the legs, so I can get some power, and it just, it's a bit more comfortable, and it's, like, kind of like a t-shirt and swoop shorts kind of vibe, or I might also get into, like, a jersey and swoop shorts or pants.
Now, in comparison, the jumpsuit that I've been flying...
It more just looks cool than actually doing anything.
The jumpsuit that I've been flying does have some grippers, so there's a bit more drag, but it, like Jacob said, it has booties. Now, booties... My jumpsuit...
You can't free fly with those.
Right. It is... Well, you can't.
You could do anything, but you shouldn't.
It's... The jumpsuit that I have is really designed for four ways. It's designed for formation jumps where you're doing specific things in the air with other people.
Even VFRs and...
Yeah, exactly. Now, the booties themselves, what those do is they give you a lot of forward momentum. So you can... In our jumps, I'm pushing us a lot when it comes to the sky. We can go horizontally so well when you have booties.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, the moment I finished... got my A license, I don't fucking jump with a jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. There are rare occasions that I jump with a jumpsuit. Normally, I jump in my Teddy Fresh hoodie and, like, polo pants. Mm. Like, Ralph Lauren designer, like, pants.
Yeah.
Almost like suit pants. Not jeans, but, like, nice stuff. And I love that. And people are like, why are you know, you're not going to get much power. You're not going to get much control. And yet I can still fly. I can fly really well.
And like, going back to my suit, docking is super, super easy because I have so much forward momentum that I can get to anybody I want to in a hurry. And we can dock really quickly. And in the same note, tracking.
Yep.
Whenever we're done with a four-way or whatnot, and it's like, okay, we're breaking off at 6, we get to 6,000 foot, and we turn away, I can track so far and so fast because I have those booties and that forward momentum. My horizontal distance is impeccable because I have those.
And I agree. I do agree. It's not like I don't think it is better. It's like, jumping with a jumpsuit is better. You will get more control. You will get more power.
Yeah.
Like, it's better. But... I want to learn how to be a fucking shredder in my fucking jeans and a hoodie.
You know? Honestly, for me, and this goes out a lot to you beginners, when I got past AFF and I started getting into coach jumps and whatnot, we started getting into winter. I kept my jumpsuit, I kept wearing one of the DZ jumpsuits because it was just fucking cold outside.
It was cold, yeah.
So I just, you know, I got my A license in mid-December.
I wore a jumpsuit for like a high pole because it was so cold, like with all my clothes under it. Like,
I got my A license December 16th or December 17th, and it was just so cold outside. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna wear a jumpsuit, not because I have to, because for where we're at, you know, it's like midway through coach jumps. If you're doing pretty well, they're a little bit more lenient, and it's like, if you don't want to wear your jumpsuit and you just want to, you know, kind of do your own thing with your own clothes, like, that's perfectly fine.
And you can do that at our drop zone. And, you know, there's ideas about it. Like, if I didn't have all the time I do in the wind tunnel, I probably wouldn't be jumping in my normal clothes.
Yeah.
I'd be wearing a jumpsuit.
Yeah. If you're a decent flyer, you know, there's going to be a little bit more leniency with it.
A lot of things in the sport, yeah. If you're really heads up and, like, all the instructors, especially if you work in the sport, it's different than, like, guys who just come out, like, once every month,
3-4 weeks and or, like, or longer,
or, you know, you've never really been confident in them in the first place. It's, you're gonna make them wear a jumpsuit and recommend that they wear a jumpsuit and jump
absolutely camp. You know, so there is that difference, and it does differ per DZ, but technically you're supposed to be wearing it all the way through your A license, but, you know, it ranges per DZ. And then if you're getting into the point where it's... And again, for me, it was weather.
I didn't wear a jumpsuit on my Hop and Pops. Those were 20 and 21, so...
I kept wearing the jumpsuit just because it was so cold.
Or even
outside.
For some of my coaches, I didn't. Never mind, yeah.
But, you know, and now we're getting more into the spring. It's getting warmer outside, so if I'm wearing my jumpsuit right now 100% of the time, but we're getting to the point where it's warm enough where I'm probably going to be switching to shorts and a t-shirt, or just sweatpants and a t-shirt.
That's what I did yesterday.
Really, really soon. And I didn't get to jump with y'all yesterday because I've been working so much, but...
Yeah, Farrell and I had an awesome jump.
I don't want to hear it. You know, a lot of it is just personal preference. Like Jacob and I were saying, there's a lot more control that you can do when you are wearing a jumpsuit.
You might have a load organizer you're doing a jump with, and they're like, get a fucking jumpsuit on, or you're not doing this jump with us.
Yeah, and...
Shit like that happens.
A lot of it goes to personal preference and just what you're doing per jump, because there's different jumps, you know? Sometimes it's... Even for me with my jumpsuit, I put my booties up on some jumps, because you know, you put them over your shoes and that's what the booties are, but you can take them off and then I just wrap a rubber band around them and that way it holds them in place from flapping while we're in the air, and then I'm not wearing booties, it's just regular. But if I'm wearing my booties, I have so much more drive. So you gotta know when and where to use what when it comes to jumpsuits.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of give and take, and it's all personal preference.
It is. It absolutely is.
When you get better and you're on, like, you know, you're on jump 100, you're, like, actually a skydiver.
I'm not now, even dickhead.
You are a skydiver, but, like, when you're, like, starting to get a little bit more respect, but you're still 100 jump wonder, like, no one's going to tell you what to do at that point.
Well, even, I'd say after jump 30, it was rare that anybody was telling me what to do, you know?
Yeah, they'll stress you. They'll advise
you.
They're like, you should be doing this, or you should... And then when you kind of get to a point where they're like, I guess he's just going to do what he's going to do.
And a lot of, like, what Jacob said earlier is, a lot of it depends on how heads you up you are. Some people are just more heads up when it comes to skydiving than others. Some people will advance quicker. You know, it's like...
That's why you can get your coach at 100. That's why you can have an SNTA sign off... for your camera before you get to 200 jumps. There's a lot of shit.
It's like any other subject in school. A lot of it just...
300 jumps now, or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of it just depends on... Fucking cats.
I love the cats.
Fuck the cats.
I love the cats. Fuck you.
A lot of it just depends on how heads up you are. Some people are going to advance more than others, and, you know, they're going to do it quicker, and... It really just boils down to how heads up you are.
Yeah, really.
I believe you have another
question. I do. I have a bit of a fun question that I've thought about very often.
Okay.
Has anyone tried putting a... Let me pull up the post because I just lost it. Shit. Okay, this is from Brett Compton. Has anyone else attached a golf ball to the side of their backpack? So I think he means, has anyone else used a golf ball as a pilot chute handle?
I hope that's what he means.
Well, I hope so, too. I hope you're just not attaching random things to your rig nilly-willy. Yes, actually... Our Sigma containers, we use golf balls for both of the pilot chute handles, the right and the left, the primary and the emergency one. But tons of people do that kind of shit. You can use a lot of things as your pilot chute handle. I saw a guy use a Rubik's Cube as a pilot chute handle.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, you can do anything. I've seen people, like, attach a banana and use a banana as a temporary pilot chute handle. Anything you can sew on and kind of attach right there. And there's different types of pilot chute handles. I have a free fly tab.
Well, and I've been using the cylinder.
Yeah, you have.
A lot of people hate those, but I actually kind of like it.
I hate them. Yeah, the PVC pipe.
Whatever it is.
Plastic orange.
Yeah, a little plastic orange one.
Little pipe.
I love it. Honestly, I like it more than just a regular hacky.
Yeah, and see, I like the free fly tab because I like having my rig not feeling like it's about to give me a premature opening.
See, I don't feel like that with mine.
Yeah, it's nice because that is light and it's smaller, so it's not going to wiggle as much as like a ball or like...
There's not many weight to it at all.
No, yeah. Not like one with like a pillow or... Mm-hmm. But the free fly tabs are really nice because those kind of stow and they're really hard to get... You kind of go left, down, out.
I want to get like a cloth or something, 8-ball. That'd be cool.
You could do anything.
You
could probably, you know, you could do a video game controller. You could do anything.
Yeah. Whatever you can sew something to your pilot chute.
Yeah, I mean, you could do anything. And then you get into, like, fucking tiny canopies where people are doing XRW and you don't even have a pilot chute.
Mm-hmm.
No pilot chutes.
That's wild.
You just, and it's only meant for like hop and pops and high pulls. Like that's the only time you're gonna use that rig. So there's just different uses. So like, yeah, you know, when you first get into skydiving, there's these such, and going back to even the jumpsuit, there's these such rigid fucking walls that you have to stick to and adhere to, because you can't get that freedom all at once. If you, like, the freedom that you get and, like, the freedom of choice and all the fucking crazy shit you can do, when you become a master rigger, you have to come up with your own idea of, like, a concept. So a lot of people build their own containers.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Farrell's
working on his own container and building his own container. And, you know, like, that idea, you're like, oh. So I guess, like, I could really kind of, like, do almost anything at that point.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of freedom, but you're not going to get that right away. Wear a fucking jumpsuit.
See, I don't even know if I would be there. Like, I really like the Vectors when it comes to rigs. I really, really like Vectors. Now, my rig is a Javelin, and I haven't flown it yet because my rig's not completely put together, but I've flown Vectors for the last 40 jumps and really, really liked it. I liked it more than the Icons.
Yeah, that's cool. See, I like the Mirages. I'm a Mirage guy. And then I think I'm going to get a Javelin next. And then my third, whether I become a master rigger and build it on my own, or, you know, when I'm an advanced canopy pilot, or maybe have some speed flying under my belt, I want to get the UPT Mutant harness.
We were just talking about that.
It doesn't connect. It has like 2-3 ring systems, and you can disconnect it from your top, and then you connect from your chest strap and your chest area. The risers connect there. That way you can sit in it kind of like a paragliding or speed flying harness, and you get a lot more control, and you can do a lot more speed and distance. So there's a lot of different things. You know, if you have a question like that, you might think it's like, oh, this is kind of stupid or funny or so. No, it's like, this is actual shit people do. This is what we do. We fuck around.
When it comes to the golf ball itself, I've never seen anybody do it. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
They're on the Sigmas.
But I don't... Are they really?
Yeah. They're Sigma. They're golf balls. We have a green and blue golf ball.
I haven't flown any of those.
Yeah.
Not
green. Sorry. Orange and blue.
You know, if that's what you're into, then send it.
Yeah,
you know,
put a Rubik's Cube on there. Fucking do anything,
it.
You know,
you can do anything you want with it.
This guy had a monkey's paw.
Oh, that's cool.
There's so much shit you can do.
Well, okay, so I raise rabbits. I could do a rabbit's foot. You could
easily do a rabbit's foot. Easily do a rabbit's foot.
Get a little bit of luck in there too with it.
Yeah, so you know, and with skydiving, as you progress into the sport and establish your image and identity, a lot of it is you have to build up a character.
Yeah, it's all about your own, you know, your own journey in it. So
I think once I start getting more money in the sport and I'm like very established in the sport, I want to do like make my colors and identity like hot pink and black.
Jacob drinks Bud Light too.
No, I don't.
I'm just fucking with you.
No, I don't drink, but I do drink margaritas.
Well, I think we both do.
Yeah, but no, I really want to establish a character and an identity, and a lot of that in the sport is doing that. So, yeah. A question like that's a really great question, Brett.
Overall, I'd say send it. If that's what you want to do, man, just send it.
Yeah, just fucking do it.
So I've got another one. It's more of a statement along with a question, and this is from Bridget Weaver, and this was about 2 weeks ago or so. She said, feeling so lost. I'm good sometimes. I have shit jump sometimes. I'm not tunnel coach level. I'm not newbie level. I'm lost. I turn belly jumps with legends where I suck. I coach rookies where I'm okay. Where the heck am I? I don't belong anywhere. I mostly feel inadequate always. Is this normal? What am I doing? Where the heck am I going?
Hey. All I have to say is you're never going to stop feeling like that.
Yeah. And so we just had an episode on that. It was one of our last episodes to come out, and it was about these plateaus that you get in the sport.
No matter where you are. And it goes back to that documentary. It talks about if you are getting into an extreme sport, skydiving, to be the best, sorry, never going to happen. There's always going to be someone better than you.
There's always somebody who's pushing a little bit more.
So
than
when you
are.
Get out of, you know, you get better at one point and those people are you're jumping with, you get better than them, then you get your next level and those people are going to be way fucking better than you.
Yeah. You know, Bridget, what I would say, what advice I would give you is, and you've probably got more jumps than I do, but you know, just keep sending it. And there's always going to be these plateaus in the sport where you feel like you're in the middle of somewhere where you want to be and where you actually are. But the number one thing, and I think we'd both agree on this, is consistency. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're obviously on a great path and you're doing well. You're coaching people. That's sometimes you just have to think back a little bit and reflect.
Yeah.
Think about what you're doing and how few people are already doing that.
Be consistent and then be confident in everything you do know and confident in the fact that you don't know everything. So yeah, always keep trying to learn.
That's a really good
always
point.
Look at yourself like a student of life.
Yeah, exactly. And like Jacob said, that does relate to life. And I've always had that kind of mentality. I never want to be...
Sports never also going to be the same. It's always going to be changing, growing. Look at XRW. XRW is becoming huge.
I never want to be at a point in life where I'm not learning, I'm not progressing. Because when you do, you know, everything kind of stops. What's the point after that? You should always be progressing with what you're doing. And it's okay to not know everything.
What you're feeling right now is a mental construct. You've created this idea of progress and goals, and you feel like you have to be better than what you are right now in a certain way. You have to know to be okay. So that's a construct. Sure, you're going to get out of that. That's a plateau you're in right now.
Yeah.
And you're going to get better.
You know, no matter how many jumps you're at right now, just keep sending it because you're already on a great path. You're already in the sport and you're part of it and you're doing really, really good. You know, and you're helping other people out in the sport. And that's something in itself right there. You are helping other people in the sport grow their own.
It doesn't matter if they have five jumps or four or 40 or 400.
Yeah. It's... You're helping other people out, and that's already a great thing for the sport itself. And, you know, you're going to hit those moments. Jacob's hit it. I've hit it. Everybody that's in the sport hits these plateaus, and the number one thing you can do is just keep jumping because you're going to break through.
Do something new, you know, yeah.
Yeah, like we talked about before in that episode. What I would say is go listen to our episode on plateaus.
Yeah, highs, lows, and plateaus. Check it out.
And, you know, I would argue that listening to that alone would help a little bit, but just keep sending it because you're already on a great path.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get the next question here. So, this is from Jason Duncan. This was on April 3rd. He posted and said, "So I got my first rig being put together. How long did it take you to learn to pack your own?" That's fun. So packing.
I fucking hate packing. You guys probably know that from listening to our podcast, but I absolutely fucking despise packing.
Yeah. And see, I am a packer. It's my job. I'm a main packer. I can pack a rig in about 5 minutes or under 5 minutes almost now. A sport rig, that is. I can pack a tandem in easily under 10 minutes. Probably more around 7 or 8 if I'm trying hard. I have been packing before I started jumping. So from my second AFF jump, I have been packing my own rigs, and I've been the only person. I've occasionally jumped someone else's pack job to try it out or check something, but I always do my own shit. Other people, they don't ever really learn how to pack. In like our drop zone, it's a requirement before you get your A license, and most places it is that you have to jump your pack job once, your own. But, you know, you don't ever have to learn how to pack your own rig. You can just pay a packer like $10, and that's generally like what it costs. It's $7 to $15
going rate. Yeah.
Or you can stop being a bitch and learn how to pack on your own. It's hard ass work, but you can do it.
So
a monkey can learn how to pack. It's not hard. You just have to do it.
For those of you who know that I hate packing, yes, I can pack my own rig. I've done it more than several times, and jumped my own rigs, and I have no problem with it. I've never had an issue with it. I can do it. I just really don't fucking like doing it. And I've heard that a lot from people, that they just don't enjoy packing. And sometimes it's a time thing, you know, sometimes you're at a DZ and you're trying to get as many jumps as you can. So it's just honestly easier and faster to have a packer or a rigger pack your chute.
At the same time, absolutely no the fuck it isn't, because once you become a really good packer, I could easily turn loads.
Yeah.
I could land, do a full jump, get on the packing mat, pack up, and then get on the next load.
Yeah. I'm not
no
there
questions
yet.
Asked.
I'm probably 20 minutes, maybe 21, 22 minutes when it comes to packing a chute. I have not a lot of experience doing it. I can pack my chute, but I just, most of the time I prefer not to because I'm trying to get more jumps in.
Yeah, and I can pack without even laying it down. I can pack it over my shoulder. Like, there's, you can get good, and when you get good, you can, there's so many fucking benefits from it. And then you can also pack for other people. Like, I make, from just fun jumpers alone, like $150 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
From just pack for people who don't want to pack, because it's easy-ass shit for me, and I can do it quick, and I give them better openings than they can for themselves.
Right.
People tip me, and, you know, it's like, hell, this is kind of fun. Like, I could probably pack my own rig, pack another person's rig, and we can get on the next load. So, like,
yeah,
it's something you should do. I think you should just take a packing class. Don't ever try to learn that shit for your own. Even though you can.
And we've talked about this in prior episodes. You know, when you are learning to pack, there's going to be a lot of people coming and trying to give you advice. Take a packing class and stick with that one way rigger. You learned it. Yeah, that one rigger. Stick with that way for a while until you
so
learn what
actually...
So many
funky different ways. There's no right way to pack a main.
Learn
technically,
what works
you should
for
do
you.
The manufacturer's way, but, like, I don't pack by the manufacturer.
Definitely, you know, stick with one way that works for you for a while. And then once you've done it for a while and you're confident in your packing abilities, you can start to sway a little bit and, like, okay, I'm going to try doing it this way that somebody else said.
Yeah, like, I don't put the lines at the bottom of the BOC. I actually put it, like, so the bridle's sticking straight up, so I get better openings that way. But that's not what the manufacturer recommends. This is what an examiner told me or taught me how to do, and I notice I get really good openings from it.
Well, and, like, okay, so for me, I pack a little bit of a mix and match between Feral and Wizard. So there's one day I went to the DZ. We weren't jumping. It was a rainy day or low clouds or whatever it was. And I just practiced packing, and I was doing it the way that Feral taught me. And, you know, then Wizard showed up, and he showed us how to do it a couple different ways. And I kind of took half of what he said and half of what Feral said and just kind of combined them. But Ryan, he packs like Tasha does.
Yeah. They put in the slider. So, like, you can do packing in so many different ways. Like, you can flat pack it. You can suicide pack it, like, which is, like, rolling it up like a croissant.
Wouldn't recommend that.
Well, actually, there's reasons why you would. But... shit. Yeah, I pack it with the three folds and then put it in the bag. Some people do two folds and then put the slider in and the where it connects to the lines in afterwards. There's so many different ways to do it. There's not a right or wrong way, really. For mains, we're talking about mains specifically. There's no right or wrong way. Well, technically, there's a really, really wrong ways. But you could also not put it in the you could not put it in the D bag. You could just put the canopy, wrap it all up, put it in the container, it would still open great.
Great and open, period.
No, it might just open great. It might just be perfect. It might be the best opening you've ever had.
I'm not going to recommend that for anybody.
I've never done it, but, you know, I will.
But, you know, just time to kind of close it out. Definitely, before you get your A license, you should take a packing class and you should learn how to pack for yourself. One, it's going to save you money in the end if you can pack for yourself. And two, it's just really something you should know how to do when it comes to skydiving.
Yeah. You have a question?
Yeah. So a couple days ago, Michael Griffey, he posted and he asked, what applications or websites do you use to get skydiving weather forecasts?
Oh, okay.
So that's a good question, because there's a lot of different ways. You know, for me, I use the weather a lot for my work, and I have the Weather Channel app. I use that a lot to see what kind of winds are on the ground, if we're expecting rain or clouds or whatnot. But then when it comes to skydiving specifically, you want to know what's going on at different altitudes.
So what we use at the Chattanooga Skydiving Company is Weather Underground. Weather Underground is great because it gets a good... connection of, like, Atlanta, Nashville, Knoxville, and Chattanooga, and also Marion County, a lot of the smaller airports, so they all mark winds together, and then we get a good forecast of, like, all the different knots, the knots of the altitude at different points of altitude. So we get like 2,000 feet, 6,000 feet, like all we
yeah,
know
all the way
what
to
the
like 12, 14.
Yeah, we know what the winds are and where they're going. That's yeah. that's how it generates a spot for us where we're going to be jumping out and when yeah. where the green is where we can jump out and be over the drop zone. So Weather Underground is really good. Weather Underground is fairly accurate when
yeah.
just the weather app on your phone is not going to.
I
can tell you the weather better than just the weather app on your phone. I still use the weather app on my phone.
But I use it as a general guide.
A gist.
Yeah. It's like you can somewhat expect this.
I can tell the weather. Like I can tell you the day before. I can tell you what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. You know.
So
it's going to be perfectly sunny, but it's going to be really fucking windy. It's going to be really bad, so we're probably not going to jump.
I was at the DZ one day, and this was when Tomas was still here. And Tomas was looking it up because we were talking about it in the morning. It was pretty cloudy and whatnot and fairly windy. And he's like, here, check this out. And it was an app that he was using, and it's called WF Dash. And that's a really good app. It shows you what winds you can expect all the way up to like 15,000 foot. It shows you 5-minute intervals as well for winds, the degrees that the wind is coming from, and the temperature at the different altitudes. So really, really cool. It's not really an app, it's more of an online thing, but you can download it almost as an app if you have an iPhone. So that's what I use, is mainly for skydiving. So I'll do a kind of a mix match between the Weather Channel app just to get a gist of it. And then if I want the specifics, I go to this WF Dash.
There you go. I have a question here from Richard Randor. This was actually from last year, but what's your coolest skydive tattoo? I want to talk about a skydive tattoo I'm going to be getting here really shortly. So once I hit 100, I was like, okay. I'm going to get this skydive tattoo. I want to get the Mac Miller lyrics, I Should Have Died Already. And I want a check mark. Not a check mark, but like a dash right below it. So for every 100 jumps, I'm going to get a dash. So it becomes tally marks of all my hundreds.
Okay.
So I Should Have Died Already, and then one dash. So I Should Have Died Already once, and then I Should Have Died Already twice, and then it just builds up until I have... I want to get, you know, to like 10,000 jumps, so I'll have like a full arm
full that of dashes. That doesn't mean you're supposed to die every 100 jumps. No. It's not what he's saying for those of you beginners. He does not mean that.
No, but, you know, I think that's a really cool tattoo.
That's cool. I don't have a whole lot of opinion in this one. I don't have any tattoos whatsoever, so this isn't really... I don't really have a dog in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of different options that you can go with this.
Yeah.
You know, really, really anything you want. I'm a big fan of the movie Point Break, so something from that might be kind of cool if you could somehow incorporate that into a tattoo.
A lot of people get canopies.
Yeah.
Like pictures of people flying in a canopy. There's a lot of different really cool things you can do. Maybe a sit fly picture. Like, I think I want to get, like, the devil or a goat and, like...
Goat?
Yeah, like goat head, human, something funky. Doing like a stagger or something. Like, there's a couple that I'm planning on getting, but. And also lyrics and quotes. And I'm also, you know, if I have any really good friends that die in the sport, I'm going to get a tattoo for them. Without a doubt. That means something to me.
There was one that I seen the other day that I actually commented on. I'm trying to find it.
Here's a good question. From Fran Verdino, would anyone know how the sizes transition from Cookie G3s to Cookie G4s? Only got to try out a Cookie G3 size L and seems to fit good. So, one thing with the Cookie helmets, the G3s and the G4s, they're very different.
They are very different.
Very different. One actually has impact rating, the other doesn't. So the G3 is a smaller helmet. The G4 kind of looks like the Spaceballs, Dark... what's-his-name's helmet.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's just big, and it's big round. You're kind of an egghead with the G4. but with that padding. So if you're in like a Cookie G3 size large, you'll probably fit in a Cookie G4 like medium.
So I have a Cookie G3 and it's a large.
Yeah,
and that's what I've been using. And I've heard that people seem to prefer the G3 over the G4.
I have a G3, and the G3s are really nice. The G4s are just big and bulky. They're not really good for camera flying because of that bulk. You have to, the camera angle's weird. They're great for impact. So when I get into, like, some more dangerous shit and, like, sketchy shit near the ground, I'm probably going to get a G4 or a helmet that actually has impact rating. So if I hit my head going, like, 40 miles an hour, I'll be fine. Yeah. You know, but if I did that on my G3 or if I even hit my head wrong on my G3 or hit somebody with it, just I'd be concussed bad.
Right.
Because it's just like a tin can almost, you know, it does give you a little bit of protection and it's mostly just keep your head kind of close in. You don't get as much wind noise. But yeah.
So the other day, and I can't find it anymore, but somebody asked on the skydiving forum, how do you juggle essentially life? He said they were going for their PhD right now, but also were getting into skydiving, and they specifically asked how do you juggle, you know, your life and also skydiving and whatnot. And I felt that I had a little bit to offer in that just because of what I do outside of skydiving. I run two different businesses. I run a fairly large lawn maintenance business and also run an excavation business as well. And I do both. And I have crews that work for me and whatnot. And, you know, I also have a family that's overseas in Germany. So there's, you know, time is a very, very precious thing. And there's so little of it where sometimes it gets really hard to find time to do other things like skydiving. And lately I haven't had the time that I want to. So it really is a matter of juggling everything because and this is the advice that I gave them on that. I would make it a point to save at least one day out of every 2 weeks to go jump. You should, and this is for a couple reasons.
That's a good way to stay current.
One, for your sanity. I, like I've said before on other podcasts, I can't go 2 weeks without jumping or I get really, really anxious and I just don't feel the same. I need to be jumping at least one day out of every 2 weeks. And so there's that mental side of it. But on the other hand, you also, you know, when you're getting into skydiving, especially as a beginner, if you're sub 100, sub 200, whatever it is, you need to be working on your skills as a skydiver. And, you know, a way to do that without going uncurrent and still being able to work on your skills and progress in the sport is consistency. And now it's not saying you need to do it every day. It's not saying you necessarily need to do it every week. But I think that 2 week margin is a really good median. Sometimes it's going to end up going 3 weeks because of weather.
And you'll still even get Dorm Monster every time you first jump with just 2 weeks off.
Yeah, absolutely. I still get it here and there. It's not as bad as it used to be, but I do still get it. And sometimes you might get lucky and you'll find a couple weekends where you get to do it every weekend or whatnot. But my advice for them was save at least one day, no matter what you're doing, how much work you have, whatever it is, make it a point to have at least one day out of those every 14 days where you get to do at least one jump. Just do it once, preferably two or three times. I generally get about four jumps every time I go. But that was my advice, is out of every 2 weeks, get at least one jump in, and it'll be good for your sanity. It'll be good to maintain that consistency and that skill and be able to keep progressing in the sport while still being able to do all the other things that you have to do or need to do in life.
Yeah, sweet. I got a last question for us.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this is from Isidro Machado. Probably butchered that, sorry, but you have a great question. He said, I've done two hop and pops, but I haven't gotten used to falling in the air in a relaxed and controlled manner. I continue to swim and do bicycle movements as soon as I let go of the plane, lol. Any tips on getting over that? Absolutely. Go to the wind tunnel and relax. Those are the two. Just fucking jump more, relax, wind tunnel.
You'll hear
nothing to do about it.
The entire time you're skydiving, relax.
Relax. And watching somebody who, like... So if you watch me in free fall, I look pretty comfortable because I have a lot of wind tunnel time.
Yeah.
You know, but you look at somebody who has like 15 jumps, they're really rigid. Yeah. They're like just, they kind of, everything they do is, it's almost like they're a solid brick flying in the sky.
Yeah. It's, and I remember Tasha talking about it, and she's like, if you, once you learn it, it'll be almost impossible to go back to that rigid style where you're,
I couldn't do it if I tried. I probably couldn't potato chip if I wanted to.
I was going to say, I remember having super, super bad potato chip when I started jumping and whatnot. And, you know, I started doing them alone where they weren't hanging on, and I had it bad. And I remember Tasha specifically saying, once you get relaxed and you're in that state, and you'll know because you'll be smiling and everything. And she can, you know, as an instructor, you can see it when you're watching people. You see that rigidness go from that to a smile, and you're relaxed, and then you're flying better. And there's that point where you finally realize how to relax, and you can't go back. Can't, and like Jacob was saying, I don't think either of us could try to potato chip. Literally, if we tried, we probably couldn't figure it out anymore. Because once you figure out how to relax in the air, everything's just so much smoother.
Yeah. So, great question.
Really, really good question. The number, like Jacob said, go to the wind tunnel. Definitely is going to help you out and get you a lot more.
Oh, yeah. You'll be a kick-ass shredder. You could sit fly around, like, jump fucking 50, you know? Yeah. Like, do crazy shit, dude.
But
I'll have a blast.
Number one thing, you know, if you can't go to the wind tunnel, you're just jumping, just relax. And once you figure out how to relax, you'll know exactly what we mean.
And how are you going to relax? Do more jumps.
Yeah.
Just jump more.
Just keep sending it.
Just keep jumping. You're such a baby bird.
You'll figure it out. I mean,
you're not even licensed yet, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out, and once you do, everything will just make sense.
Yeah, even licensed skydivers, some people with, like, who are belly flyers fly really, like, rigidly, and they're not, like, I feel like, sort of try to fly like a free flyer, where I kind of just, like, can move my body, and, like, in the wind tunnel, I've practiced, like, swimming. So I can do the movements of, like, swimming. So, like, kicking my legs and moving my arm and still stay fully still and not move.
I've seen it.
That, you know, that makes you good. That makes you comfortable out in the sky when you aren't doing that. Yeah. So, it's just control and getting an understanding and just getting more time. You've done 2 hop and pops. What is... That's so, yeah. Don't even worry about it, dude. You'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep doing what you're doing, man, and you'll be on the right track. You know, and we love answering these questions for you guys. So if there's any questions that you guys ever have, ask us. Feel free to email us on our email at skydiveliberation@gmail.com, or you can always check us out on our Instagram or our Facebook. Send us messages through there, or even look up our personal Instagrams and whatnot. Send us your questions. We'd love to answer them. And, you know, as always, guys, you're welcome to come jump with us anytime, and we'll be happy to help you out that way. I believe Jacob has a shout out to do real quick.
Yeah, so we're going to be showing a guy on Instagram, John Alam. He's a U.S. Marine, and he's a skydiver.
Heck yeah.
He has a great Instagram. He's at Skydiving in Indianapolis, so he knows Sebastian and Tomas. He knows those guys. Go ahead and check out his Instagram. It's j.elam007. So, j.elam007. E-L-A-M. There you go.
Bond. James Bond.
Yeah. James Elam 007.
Guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to us. Please share our podcast with anybody you know, your cousins, your friends, your family, whoever. Share us on Facebook or Instagram. We want to reach as many people as we can that are getting into the sport. And always, you know, check us out on our social medias. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on Patreon. We'd love to get some more supporters with that. And as always, come jump with us, guys. We thank you so much for all your support.
Absolutely.
So, guys, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you all next time. I'm Kyler Kayanek.
I'm Jacob Patty.
Drew's over there, our audio engineer on the keys. And this is Skydive Liberation, brought to you by the Splash Bros. We will see y'all next time.
Love you guys.